Hello, church. How are you this morning? I mean, I asked that like I didn't speak to most of you this morning. But it's just force of habit, I guess. But it's always good to know how people are doing again and again and again, because I care about you guys and I love you guys so much. Okay. So this morning we're looking at 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 10 to 16. Will you please stand if you are able for the reading of God's word? 2 Peter chapter 2, and we're reading from verse 10. This is especially true of those who follow the corrupt desire of the sinful nature and despise authority. Bold and arrogant, these men are not afraid to slander celestial beings. Yet even angels, although they are stronger and more powerful, do not bring slanderous accusations against such beings in the presence of the Lord. But these men blaspheme in matters they do not understand. They are like brute beasts, creatures of instinct, born only to be caught and destroyed. And like beasts, they too will perish. They will be paid back with harm for the harm they have done. Their idea of pleasure is to carouse in broad daylight. They are blots and blemishes, reveling in their pleasures while they feast with you. With eyes full of adultery, they never stop sinning. They seduce the unstable. They are experts in greed and a cursed brood. They have left the straight way and wander off to follow the way of Balaam, son of Beor, who loved the wages of wickedness. But he was rebuked for his wrongdoing by a donkey, a beast without speech, who spoke with a man's voice and restrained the prophet's madness. May the Lord bless the reading and hearing of His word. You may take a seat. So, we've been talking about false teachers for the last 2 weeks. I don't know about you, but I've been pondering quite a lot about false teachers. Maybe that's just because, you know, I was preparing for my sermon. But I've been thinking about this a lot. And I thought to myself, you know, what is it about false teachers? Why is this concept of being a false teacher and teaching a false message such a huge problem? Why is the outcome of teaching, of false teaching, ultimately so destructive to God's people? That's because false teachers are distorting the precious gospel and leading people astray. People need something tangible to hold on to in this, in their times of struggle. And false teachers take advantage of people and give them simple, quick fix answers, which ultimately only benefit the false teachers. Only the true gospel can give people hope in their struggles. I've seen this quite recently. Just to share with you a little bit more about my meetings with Pastor Shadrach. So, you know, Pastor Shadrach approached me for the church to help, and thank you so much for helping. And then I went back again and again to go and drop off the contributions that you guys have made, which was so needed and so appreciated. And I got to talking to Pastor Shadrach, because we as elders were thinking about how we can partner with him, right? How we can help him with his congregation, but also to help him to be someone who's teaching sound doctrine. And so I went to speak to him again, and I just got a little bit of a background to him and what he's been doing. He's a ward counselor as well, a preacher. And he comes from a Presbyterian background. And we spoke a little bit, and I just wanted to get a feel, and we're thinking about maybe helping him to go and study. And we're inviting them to come and visit us as well, which is really great. But then, I said to him, you know, what is it like around here where you live? You know, what are most of the people, which church background are most of the people from? And he said, let me take you somewhere quickly. And I went with him to a place that was not too far away in the township there, which is called Church Square, right? So he took me to Church Square, and I went there with him, and he tried to explain to me what happens there. So it's literally, there was an open field next to the township, and churches moved in, and they built church buildings, and they're like 5 or 6 different churches in that little space there. There's a Zionist church, there's a Methodist church, there's an Apostolic Faith Mission church, There's Pastor Shadrach's church, Presbyterian church meets there, and then there's two other churches I can't remember. And they're all these churches are on that church, what is called Church Square. And I shared this with the elders when we met earlier in the week. And I said, you know, it's so interesting how there can be so many different churches within walking distance of one another, and yet they're all teaching very different things about the gospel. And I wondered to myself, how does that work? How are you, as a Methodist church, within walking distance of a Zionist church, and you are not engaging with them about teaching proper doctrine and about not teaching falsehoods from the God's word? And I found that very interesting. And why did I share that with you? Because, you know, this passage this morning is not an easy passage. And I really wrestled with it. And I felt the weight of preaching it correctly. Because you guys know that we as a church want to be a church that correctly handles the word of truth, as 2 Timothy, as Paul writes to Timothy in the second letter. We want to correctly handle God's word. I was so afraid of saying the wrong thing or misinterpreting the text. Because we take this thing very seriously, right? There are people out there, you know, people are desperate. There's desperate times, and people are struggling, and they want to grasp onto something. And there are people that are taking false teachers that are taking advantage of those people and teaching them wrong things. And ultimately, they are led by pride, sensuality, and greed. And they're trying to teach people ways to get rich quickly. You know, that God has a blessing for you in store. Yes, God blesses us, but not in the way that they're preaching. So it really weighed heavily on my heart, like sharing this message with you this morning, and because I wanted to do it properly and do the text justice and preach truth. But you know what happens with false teachers is that it's not just their words that are wrong, but it comes from the desires of their heart. It stems from how they live their lives. It's what they say, it's how they live their lives, and it's what comes from their hearts. I mean, Matthew 7, verse 15, Jesus warned us about false prophets. And he said that we must beware of them. They are ferocious wolves dressed in sheep's clothing. But he also said that we will know them, we will recognize them by the fruits. Right? So that's the way we can recognize them, is by watching them and seeing what their lifestyles are like. 2 Peter, just want to jump forward to the end of 2 Peter, because Peter talks about, Peter writes that Paul in his letters writes some things that are difficult to understand, which ignorant and unstable, the ignorant and the unstable distort as they do to other scriptures, to their own destruction. And I don't want to be that person. I hope that I'm not ignorant and I'm not unstable. I think I'm not. But sometimes, the danger with false teachers is that they take difficult passages and they don't treat them properly, and we will see more of that in our text this morning. Father God, I pray that you would just be with me now as I bring your word to our church. I pray that you through your Holy Spirit will be with me and just give me peace, that you are talking through me. I pray that you will prepare the hearts and minds of our church through this imperfect vessel here this morning, that they will pick up what you are trying to say to them this morning. So just be with us. Open our hearts and our minds to receive your word this morning. I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts will be pleasing in your sight, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. So the passage Mike preached on last week spoke about the judgment of false teachers. And that passage ended, just to remind you, with verse 9 that assures us that God will rescue the godly and punish the unrighteous. Peter then goes on in verse 10 to say, and this is especially true of those unrighteous, and in this instance specifically false teachers, who follow the corrupt desire of the sinful nature. The ESV says, indulge in the lust of defiling passion, and they despise authority. Peter is highlighting the two primary characteristics of false teachers, in that they say they belong to Jesus, but they are still slaves to the sinful nature. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery. And they despise God's authority. They reject the sovereign lordship of Jesus over their lives. They also despise the authority of God's word and change it to suit their agendas. Peter then goes on to expand quite substantially about what false teachers look like, the characteristics of false teachers. And we will see in this passage that false teachers are ultimately driven by greed, sensuality, and pride. Peter warns us about what false teachers are like so that we don't become like them, and so we can identify them and not listen to them. So let's look at the text. Okay, so in this section, Peter is addressing a very specific situation in the church of his day, right? And you will notice that as we go through it. But we can learn a lot about false teachers from it. So let's start with the second half of verse 10, where he says, they are bold and arrogant. They are not afraid to slander celestial beings. In the ESV it says, they do not tremble as they blaspheme the glorious ones. Now in this context, scholars and commentators, they have two views about what this could mean. That the celestial beings could either be the good angels, or they could be bad angels. But these people, these false teachers, are so bold, so arrogant, that they slander celestial beings when even angels don't slander celestial beings before the Lord. It says they blaspheme in matters they do not understand. And to blaspheme, as we know, is to speak irreverently of God or the sacred things of God. And they speak lightly of the serious things of God. And this is what false teachers do. They don't take seriously enough the things of God. Then in verse 12, he goes on to say they are brute beasts. Peter doesn't hold back here. He calls them some harsh names. He says they are brute beasts, irrational animals, as the ESV says, which I really, really like. He calls them irrational animals, creatures of instinct, born only to be caught and destroyed. And like beasts, they too will perish. And they will be paid back for the harm. They will be paid back with harm for the harm they have done. You see that they behave like animals, giving in to their basest desires. They have no self-control. And a punishment awaits them if they do not repent and turn from their sin. Verse 13 says, the idea of pleasure is to carouse in broad daylight. They are so arrogant that they are not even ashamed to partake in their fleshly desires in full view of everyone. And how often do we see things done and said in public these days that are shameful, but are made out to be normal? He goes on to say that they are blots and blemishes, reveling in their pleasures while they feast with you. So these are blots and stains on Christian communities, and they will be in our community, and yet they are still sinful. How is that possible? They have eyes full of adultery and they never stop sinning. They are insatiable for sin, the ESV says. And they seduce the unstable. They are experts in greed. And he calls them an accursed brood. They hunger for sexual satisfaction and they try to lure others into that sin as well. People who are perhaps weaker in their faith. They are practiced in greed. Now, I think for us, this allows us an opportunity to examine our own hearts. So we see that false teachers are led by greed. Is there sin in your life that relates to material things, that relates to money, that you yourself might also need to look at? Are you prideful? Is there the sin of pride in your life that you might also have to look at? And then especially as well, and this is something that comes up in churches often these days, where sensuality and sexuality are completely taken out of context and some sinful sexual things are happening, even in churches. Pastors are teaching things in Christian churches that are abhorrent to the Lord. Then Peter goes on in verse 15 and 16. He says, they have left the straight way and wandered off to follow the way of Balaam, son of Beor, who loved the wages of wickedness. The ESV says he loved gain from wrongdoing. Now, so we're going to spend a little bit of time in the Old Testament today, for those of you that have been longing to be in the Old Testament for a little bit. So Peter speaks about Balaam, son of Beor. Now, Balaam's story is told in Numbers 22, verse 1 to 24, verse 25. Now, I'm not going to read all of it because it is quite lengthy. I'm just going to summarize it for you, so you can know why Peter has used Balaam, son of Beor, as an example of what false teachers are like. So the story of Balaam. So basically the story is that Balaam was a prophet for hire. He was a prophet for hire. He was not part of God's people. He was a man who was around in that area as the Israelites were trying to approach the promised land for the second time. He was around in that area. And Balak, who's the king of the Moabites, hired Balaam to put a curse on the Israelites because he was afraid of them, because they were getting ready to move into the promised land, and there were lots of them, and Balak knew that these people were a people that were very close to God's heart and that he looked out for them. So he was afraid, and he hired Balaam to come and put a curse on the Israelites. But every time he wanted to curse Israel, God would use him to bring blessing on Israel. From the story, it would seem that Balaam was doing, that he was doing God's work, which is a good thing, right? But Balaam's motives for obeying God were not noble. He obeyed God because it could benefit him. Balaam is such an important character in the Bible that he's mentioned many other times in God's word. And every time it's in connection with something bad. In Numbers 31, verse 7 and 8, God instructed Moses to kill the sinful Midianites, and Balaam was killed too. So he did some good things for God, but God knew that his intentions were not good. So when the Israelites moved in on the Midianites and killed them, they were instructed to kill Balaam as well. And we'll see why. In Numbers 31, verse 16, we learn that Balaam was responsible for leading the Israelites astray by encouraging them into idol worship and sexual immorality. In Deuteronomy 23, verse 4 and 5, Israel are reminded of Balaam's transgression against them. Joshua does the same in Joshua 24, verse 9 and 10, when he relays how God blessed them again and again after Balaam was supposed to curse them. And when the remnants of Israel returned after the exile, Nehemiah mentions Balaam again, and so does the prophet Micah. And then we know that Jude also talks extensively about false teachers in his letter. He mentions Balaam as well as an example of a man who did whatever he wanted. He prophesied out of greed and not obedience to God. And then finally, John mentions Balaam in Revelation chapter 2, verse 14. Jesus tells John to write to the church in Pergamum, that some of them hold to Balaam's teaching about idols and sexual immorality. Christ rebukes the church for tolerating those who, like Balaam, lead people astray from God. There is no room for heresy and moral impurity among God's people. So this morning, I think, as I said, it's a good time for us to examine our own hearts. We as God's people are called to be holy and righteous. And if we're still holding on to our sexual sin, if we're still holding on to the sin of greed and the sin of pride, then we need to eradicate it from ourselves. We need to eradicate it. I just want to jump a little bit forward to the end of Peter. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. Peter tells us to be on our guard so that we may not be carried away by the error of lawless men and fall from our secure position. But we are to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Be on your guard, Christians. Be on your guard against false teachers. Do not follow them. Do not listen to them. Call them out. Use discernment when listening to other things. Do not be carried away by the error of these lawless men and fall from your secure position. Because the Lord has done so much in your life. Don't let that be lost because of false teaching and false doctrine. Protect yourselves from it. Be discerning. Look out for those things. Don't follow them. God has done an amazing work in our lives as Christians. He has saved us from our sin through Jesus Christ. And we need to hold on to that precious gift of our salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. We have to hold on to it and protect it with everything that's in us. And not allow false teachers to lead us astray and to lead us down the wrong path. So let that be an encouragement to you this morning. Take this opportunity to think for yourself. If there's still sin in your heart that is keeping you from having that wonderful relationship with our Lord, repent and turn away from those sins today. Ask for forgiveness and move forward. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you are a relational God. We thank you that you love us so much that you sent your Son Jesus Christ to die on the cross to save us from our sins. That through faith in Jesus Christ, we are saved. Let us help us to see and remember how precious our salvation is. Make us bold and courageous. We ask that you would help us to see, that you would give us such great wisdom that we are able to see false teachers and false teaching from a mile away. Thank you that we are a church that tries to correctly handle your word of truth. And there are churches out there that don't do that, Father God. And this morning we bring those churches before you. We bring those church leaders before you as well. And we ask, Father God, that you would just stir something in their hearts. That they would realize the error of their ways and turn from their wicked ways and follow you again, Lord. That all of those South Africans out there, the millions, billions of South Africans out there who are part of churches that are teaching false doctrine, we ask, Father, that you would be there for them, that you would show them the right way. In Jesus' name we pray. Help us to examine our own hearts again this morning, Father God. If there is sin in our hearts that is keeping us away from you, we ask that you would remove it from us, that you would cleanse us, that you would wash us white as snow through the blood of Jesus. Father, we love you. We want to see you glorified and honored, and we want the gospel of truth to be preached all over this beautiful land, and that people will come to a saving faith, that they would turn from all their wicked ways and follow you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.